Well, good evening, everyone, and welcome to Tuesday night's Daily Bread for FHK, where the Word of God will change our lives. We will never be the same in Jesus' name. Amen? I know I feel that way. I'm sure you do too, or you wouldn't be here tonight. Well, again, I just want to welcome you all for being here. Today is Tuesday, March 14th. Can't believe we're already mid-March. Here we are. I don't want to go another minute without giving a shout out to Dolly, my cousin Dolly. Yes, I'm going to call her out and say happy birthday. She has a blessed glory story. Let me tell you what, God is good to Dolly. And we pray that she have many, many, many more blessed years with the Lord. Amen. Well, let's just open up in prayer. Father God, I thank you for every person here tonight. I pray that they have ears to hear, eyes to see, and just an expectation for what you have for us from the Word. Holy Spirit, I ask that you guide my words with clarity and excellence and accuracy straight from the Word of God. And I thank you for all of this ahead of time in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, welcome. We're so excited about tonight's Bible study because it is near and dear to my heart. And that's, you know, everything I share with you, it's just things that God has dealt with me about or that I'm still in the process of learning. And this is one that this is exciting. And it's two words. If you're writing notes, it's two words for the title: hold fast. And this is a very big component of faith walkers. You know, we sit here and we talk about faith walking. This is a faith walker Bible study. And that's really where my heart is. And that's where that God has really directed me to share and speak to other people is because, yes, praise God, we get born again. We're in the kingdom of God, the household of faith, and we are believers. And that's great. But we want to press in to more. What does God, everything God has for us? Because he has a lot for us. Amen. And how do we get there? How do we get to that heaven on earth chapter and phase in our lives? Well, it starts with us. It starts with putting a word foundation. We would never want to build a house on sand, right? Because Jesus has told us that if you build your house on sand, the first storm that comes along and the waves crash and the storm comes, the house gets wiped off, right? It's shaky. It's on shaky ground. We want our foundation to be on the rock, the Word, Jesus Christ. We want our foundation to be sure and firm and unchanging. And that's what the Word is. The Word never changes. God never changes. Amen. And so I want to encourage you, this is a big component of being a faith walker. You know, faith walkers walk by sight and not by faith. Faith walkers are also holding fast. And so that's one component to being a faith walker. And so we're going to camp on here for however long the Lord, wants me to. And so it's a lot here, and yet we can probably do it in maybe one or two, depending on how quickly I go. But we're going to start with our foundation scriptures, because, you know, this is not a Bible study on Grace's opinion. This is about the Word of God. We do Bible studies for the Word of God, and it needs to come from the Word. And I hope that you are blessed by this, but just know that it's directed by God. He tells me, okay, let's share this, or let's go into this area, or whatever. He lets me know what to share next, and, you know, what to cover. And so, again, it's always something that I hope that blesses you. I know it's blessed me, but at the same time, I never want for it to be, you know, I don't want the takeaway to be, oh, well, I just got through listening to Grace's opinion for the last 20, 30 minutes. This always should be word-based, and you should do that. You are right and correct, all of us are, to question anybody that we listen to. We want it to always be a word-central Bible study. Amen. Word-centered, Everything needs to come off of the Word. The Word is our foundation, and it needs to be right in the middle of anything we're talking about when we're talking about walking the life of faith. Because the instructions we get are from the Word. Amen? And so God is very clear on so many things, so many topics in the Bible to help us live a full and rich and godly, faith-filled life, but also a blessed life. He intends for us to have a life that is heaven on earth. But again, like I've said before, and I'll say it again, this isn't just about us. We are not blessed just to be fat sheep. We feed on the Word, and it's all about us, and it's all about us. God always intended us to grow and to mature and develop so that we can help those around us. We are to be a blessing to others. Well, you can't really help anybody else if you're in the middle of things yourself, right? And it's not that we ever achieve perfection. Please know, God tells us very clearly in the Word that, you know, we're going to have trials and tribulations, and, you know, the earth spins, there's gravity, things happen. Faith people are not people that deny circumstances. We should never deny that bad things happen or deny circumstances. But though circumstances are merely facts, they're a set of facts. They're not the truth. And there isn't multiple truths. Contrary to the popular opinion of today's culture, there isn't, well, you have your truth and I have my truth. No, you may have your opinion and I may have my opinion, but we're talking in these Bible studies about the truth. And there is only one truth and one way. And it is the Word. It is God. It is Jesus Christ. He is the way. This is the way. I'm just kidding. That's a little Mandalorian joke. Anyway, there really is only one way and one truth, and it is the truth that we should be building our foundation on. Our house should be built on that firm foundation, the rock, which is Jesus Christ. Amen? So our foundation scriptures, there's three of them, Revelation 2:25, Hebrews 4:14, and Hebrews 10:23. And if I went too fast, don't worry, because we're going to go over them real quick. I'm going to start in Hebrews 4:14. And I'm going to read this out of the New King James Version. Hebrews 4:14. Seeing then that we have a great high priest who has passed through the heavens, Jesus, the Son of God, let us hold fast our confession. Now, some say, let us hold fast to our profession. Well, profession and confession, they can be used interchangeably. We're talking about what words do we confess? What words are coming out of our mouth? When we're praying, when we're meditating, when we're speaking, when we're thinking, we're talking to others or sharing, what are the words that are coming out of our mouths? Amen? Because all of us have had those moments in our life where it is a crisis, crossroads. You just got a bad report from the doctor. You just had a situation at work. Maybe there's some crisis with your finances or a relationship in a family member. Maybe there's been a betrayal in a marriage or a relationship. There, you are faced with a crisis crossroad. So when you're at that crossroad, we have choices to make as Christians. We have choices to make as faith walkers. Are we going to walk in faith and not by sight? Or are we going to get caught up and swept up in the crisis, the circumstances of that particular crisis? So this is our choice. And we all have it every day. All of us do. And we come across stuff, little ones, big ones. I mean, you might start your car and get ready to go to work tomorrow. And maybe, the engine doesn't start. Or it starts and you have no heater and it's cold. Or it starts and you have no air conditioning and it's hot outside. Or you might have a flat tire. You know, there's those little things that come across. Well, we need to be building our faith in all things. Little crisis, little circumstances get us ready for bigger circumstances. Amen? So when we read that, there's so much good in that Hebrews 4:14, but I just wanted to set the foundation because we have a great high priest and his name is Jesus Christ. Amen? And he is faithful. And so because he has passed through the heavens, Jesus, we need to hold fast. So the word of God is telling us right there, Holy Spirit, this is important enough that Holy Spirit wanted this in the book. And here it is, hold fast to our confession. Amen. We're going to go over to Hebrews 10. And our next one is Hebrews 10, 23. And this is a really good one. They're all good. It's hard to say, oh, this is my favorite. This is so good. But Hebrews 10, this is going to be one that you are maybe familiar with. 10:23. And I'm going to read it out of the New King James. Let us hold fast the confession of our hope without wavering, for he who promised is faithful. Oh my goodness, that's so good. Let us hold fast. Those are those two words again, hold fast. So we just heard that in Hebrews 4:14, hold fast. Now we're being told again later on in the book of Hebrews, Hebrews 10:23, hold fast. Let us hold fast the confession of our hope. I think other translations might have of let us hold fast to our faith without wavering, for he who promised is faithful. What does that mean? It means we should not waver. We should not allow a fact or a circumstance cause us to waver, because the word is the truth. The word should have final authority in our life. And I say the word should, not trying to shame anybody, but this is something that I would encourage all of us. We all have to decide, and pretty much we have to make this decision as Christians. Are we going to have the word be the final authority in our life? Or are we going to allow the world, the circumstances of the world, anything that comes our way in a crisis, wrapped in a crisis outer coating, to be our final authority? Or is the word our final authority? And nobody can answer this but ourselves. And how you react in that moment of crisis at that crossroads is really an indication of where you are. And this again is meant to encourage you. So please don't get discouraged if you think, great, I melt like a piece of cotton candy anytime something comes. I just melt, I dissolve. Be encouraged that all of us have been in those moments, but you don't have to stay there. And the word is here to give us hope and to show us there is a better way. And his name is Jesus. And he is our great high priest. And our confidence is not on pie in the sky stuff. Our confidence is in our great high priest, in the one who has promised us through his word. And he who promised is faithful. God is faithful to his word, everything in his word. There's a scripture and it says he watches over his word to perform it. What does that mean? It means that we should be praying the word, because that is the prayer that God can do something with. He's like, all right, they're confessing the word. They're confessing the word. They are standing on the word. And so his word is never void. His word, he never goes back and forth. And his word, he never lies. He cannot lie. So if he gave us a promise, we need to grab a hold of that. Amen? So these are just, there's one more I'm going to read. See, I'm ready to go on. I'm so excited. I'm not even through the foundation scriptures yet. Come on, Grace. This last one is all the way at the back of the book, Revelation 2:25. And again, when we're talking about holding fast, we need to know, what does the word say about that? Well, we've already got two scriptures where it's telling us to hold fast. And why? Because we have a great high priest. And then 10:23 says, because he who promised is faithful. Amen. Well, this is Revelation 2:25. And this one says, but hold fast. There's those words again. But hold fast what you have till I come. Well, that's a direct, and in my Bible, it's red. Those words are red. So that's Jesus talking to us. We need to pay attention to the word, period. But when it's in red, those are like extra neon lights. Really pay attention to this part. This is Jesus telling us, hold fast. Well, what does this mean, hold fast? It means hold fast to the confession. Hopefully, it's the right confession, which is the word of God. You're holding fast to the word. And there's two times you hold fast. When you're believing for the promise of God to manifest in your life, you're praying for something and you're praying God's promise, God's word, to manifest in your life, or it's already manifested and you're holding fast to that. So let me give you an example of what that looks like. That looks like someone that has been given a diagnosis. It was bad. You prayed. God healed you. Now you're healed. You're on the other side of that. You have been healed. It is as important for you now to hold fast after your healing has manifested as it was before. Because the enemy will come, and basically all he wants to do is undo anything God says. If God's word says you are more than a conqueror, he's going to whisper things about you being such a loser. If God's word tells us in, you know, Galatians 3:13 or Matthew 8:17 or what is it, 2 Peter 2:24, that we are healed by the stripes, he's going to come and tell you, no, God isn't the healer. Or God maybe heals other people, but not you. Your case is special. He basically just wants to undo whatever God is doing in our life and whatever God's word says. And we're the ones that get to decide, does God's word have final authority or does the circumstance? But I'm speaking to those of you that have had God's promises manifested in your life. Maybe you were praying for a broken relationship. Maybe you came through a horrible financial situation and you're on the other side of that now and have blessings and prosperity that you know came straight from God. You're on the other side of that healing. There are so many times that we have, as Christians, we have many glory stories out there. If there are 10 or 15 of you out there listening to this Bible study tonight, this Daily Bread, then I guarantee you we have multiple glory stories, not just one for each of us, because each of us probably have multiple ones ourselves, where you have glory stories where you can look back and see how God's hand was on you during that crisis or that situation. What I'm encouraging you tonight is this is a key critical component to being a faith walker. And if you don't have a strong word foundation, get one. And it starts with reading the word, meditating on the word, listening to podcasts and Bible studies and daily breads, just like tonight. Getting full of God's word and building up your spirit man, getting mature in the and getting a very firm foundation in the word, okay? That's the best foundation, remember? That's the one that's the rock that's not going to crumble at the first time there's a storm. That's what I encourage all of us to do. And guess what? We're never going to get done. Nobody's ever going to achieve that perfection until we all go on to heaven. But we should try. That is our mission, is to look at Jesus as our example and to everyday purpose to grow and to develop and to hold fast to these things that God's telling us. So we have three scriptures right now that are telling us three different ways. Hold fast. So this hold fast is pretty important component. And I just want to encourage you, the more you put the word in your mouth, the more we give God something to work with. Because if we just pray an empty prayer that is not word-based, I don't know that it's going to go really anywhere. It didn't land, right? I mean, it might sound fluffy and pretty, but God looks for his word. He looks for his word to perform it. So is the word coming out of your mouth? If you have a financial need right now, a crisis, then that's the time for you to start looking in the Bible for all the scriptures that have to do with financial prosperity and blessings, right? Find the promise or promises that you will be praying and confessing and holding on to. The same is true for whatever situation, whether it's a relationship, a healing need, or whatever your need is. But I'm also speaking to those of us that we have seen the manifestation. We have glory stories. It is not the time for you to let go because we still hold fast. What we hold fast to after the manifestation is the manifestation, right? I hold on to my healing and I thank God for it every day. And, you know, there's a scripture that's in Nahum 1:9. It's the second part of the scripture. And it says, this affliction will never return a second time. And that is my confession. I will never have any of that ever come on me again. And so I thank God. But whether it's a healing, a finances, a relationship, whatever that crisis was, when you do get your answer to that prayer, it's still as important for us to hold fast. We should not allow the enemy to steal our answer to our prayer. And he can do that. And there have been times, you know, Brother Hagin talks about this in his health food. He was a traveling minister, and he would pray for the, you know, health and healing for people. And he would see people healed. I mean, healed of blindness, healed of hearing, or someone that was in a wheelchair or severe arthritis. They couldn't even walk. And then they would get healed, and then they would lose their healing after. Why? Because they were not holding fast. Another time that this can happen is when you pray the prayer of agreement. Now, I want you to know the prayer of agreement is a powerful thing. It is a biblical, scriptural thing. It is a good thing, not speaking against it. But praying the prayer of agreement doesn't absolve you from holding fast. It's your faith. You need to hold fast to you. Now, you can ask someone to agree with you in prayer, and they can hook up their faith with yours. But it doesn't absolve you. In other words, you don't get to say, okay, I'm all done with that. That's done. And move on. You continue to hold fast. Well, how do you hold fast? You say it. You speak the word. You thank God for that. You continue to speak health and healing if it was a healing. You continue to speak prosperity and favor if it has to do with finances. You speak about relational things. The word of God has a promise for any situation. And whatever it is that you're praying and believing for on the front end, we need to continue to hold fast even after we receive that blessing. Amen. So there's a lot here. There's a lot more to cover, but I want to end with this. I want to end with a story out of the Bible. It's Old Testament. It's one of my favorites. I encourage you to go read it. I'm not going to read it here, but you can find it in Daniel chapter 3, starting in verse 16. And it's one of my favorite ones. It's about Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. And they were extraordinary young men of God, loved God with all of their heart. And they knew that God, he was it. They were not going to have any other gods before them because God was their Lord, right? Well, they lived in a country where a king ordered, he made a statue, and he said, I'm covering it with gold, and you're going to bow down and worship the statue, and we're going to call this a god, and I think it was actually in the image of the king, and he said, and we're going to worship this. So when the music sounds, we're going to worship this as our god. Well, the music came, they issued an edict over the whole countryside. And here comes the music, and everyone fell to their knees to worship this god, except Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. They did not. They knew that man-made laws are one thing, but God said, you shall have no other gods before me. They did not bow. They did not bend their knee. Well, you can imagine if everyone else is on their knees and these three are not, they stood out really quickly. So it was very evident immediately that they were not, you know, following the law. So some other leaders took this to the king and said, hey, you've got three people over here not following the law. And so the king really liked them. And so he gave them another chance. And he reminded them, you know, this is the law now. You have to do it. So here comes the next time. It's time for the music to sound and everyone to fall on their knees and worship again. And they still do not worship that false idol, that golden image of whatever the king had, you know, covered in gold. So he threw them in the fire, and they were going to be killed. In fact, they actually turned it up. They intensified the heat so much that the escorters who were taking them to the fire got burned up just taking them to the fire. So that should have been a clue for the king, right? Just to say, hey, Why didn't those three get burned up? But the escorters did. But anyway, they threw them in the fire, and they could see them in the fire, and they were not dying. And in fact, the king looked, and him and all of his leaders that were with him could see a fourth person. Well, who do you think that was? See, heaven will show up when we hold fast. That's what Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego were doing. They were holding fast to God's word, that commandment that said, you shall have no other gods before me. They were holding fast. I'm going to tell you, that's probably not the first time they were ever holding fast. Amen? They had done it before. And that's why it's important for us to practice holding fast in little things, in medium things, in big things, all the time to hold fast. So this wasn't the first time that they held fast. And they were holding fast to the point of knowing they were going to get thrown in this fiery pit, right? But of course, they were unscathed. In fact, I think at the end of the story, it says they came out, they didn't even smell like smoke. Isn't that good? God is so good. There's so much there. Anyway, we're going to end on that, but I encourage you to go read that story out of Daniel chapter 3, verse 16 of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. Three great examples of holding fast to their faith. Amen. And that's what I encourage you to do. This is a great thing. We'll probably continue on this next week, but I just want to remind you of the March FHK scripture, which is 2 Peter 3:18. This is such a great scripture as well. You know, all the word is great. All of it's good. But I'll leave you with 2 Peter 3:18. Grow in the grace and knowledge of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. To him be the glory, both now and forever. Amen. That's good stuff. Well, I hope you have been encouraged tonight. I know it was a blessing for me to get to share. And I just encourage you, hold fast. Hold fast the rest of the week. Every day is a great opportunity to hold fast and have the word of God come out of your mouth. That's how we hold fast. Amen. We continue to speak the word and confess the word and pray the word and meditate on the word and feed on the word. And we will grow and nurture, mature and develop. But most importantly, what we're talking about is holding fast. That is such a critical component. And we need to get skillful in that area and develop it. Holding fast to our confession. And even after the promise has manifested in our life, we hold fast to the answered prayer. Amen. Because it is a blessing. It is such a blessing to see God's hand move in your life. And I know all of us have glory stories. We can tell testimonies of how God has moved in our own lives. And so we continue to hold fast to that. So I just want to encourage you to do that. I pray that you have a blessed rest of the week. Enjoy it. And join us again tomorrow night with Pastor Rose on Wednesday for the Daily Bread. And again, hope you all have a blessed evening. Good night, everyone.